few weeks ago, I was having lunch with some of our school students, and one of our new students had a question for me. I asked them if they were excited for our school mass for the week. It was going to be the following day. And of course, they said yes. But then this one new student asked, "Father, what does mass mean? What is mass?" It was a great question. Because even us sitting in the pews today, we could might, yeah, what does mass mean? I know kind of what we do when we come to mass, but it is kind of a weird word that we ascribe to our communal worship. Why do we call what we do here on Sundays and throughout the week at daily mass, why do we call that mass? The word mass actually means send. It's a word that we derive from a verb. And so what we do here is a verb. It's ascending. Now we see it more specifically when we look at the Latin word. We actually get the word mass from the end of the mass. It's one of the last words that I say. In Latin, if we were having mass today in Latin, I would say ite missa est. That's where we get the word mass, missa. In English, I would say today, go forth, the mass is ended. But in Latin, when it's literally translated, it means go, it has been sent. That's what the dismissal literally means. Go, it has been sent. The word mass, missa, means sending. We can even see similar words like missile. If I were to send a missile, it comes from that same derivative. Or the word mission, people who are sent. And so the church in our worship is all about sending. So much so that we call what we do here mass, sending. Of course, that word comes at the end of mass, and you might think, well, it probably has to do solely with us leaving. It's the dismissal. It's the sending forth. And yeah, it has something to do with that. But actually, we have to back up because there are other sendings that happen before we're sent out these doors at the end. Even the direct translation, as I mentioned, go, it has been sent. It's not just the sending at the end. It's something else that is sent during our common worship and our celebration here of the Mass. The first sending that we have to examine in the church's worship is the one that came 2,000 years ago. When we who were helpless in our sin received a Savior. It was the sending of the Son from the Father. 2,000 years ago, the Father sent the Son, whom we call Jesus. That was the first sending. And we were helpless, as I said. We were caught and stuck in our sin. We needed someone to save us. We couldn't have done it on our own. And so the Father sent the Son. We can't overemphasize the impact that that's had on the world. We wouldn't exist here as a church if the Father hadn't sent the Son. But then, of course, the Son had a mission. He had a reason that he was sent. It was our salvation that he won for us on the cross through the Paschal mystery, his suffering, his death, and his resurrection and ascension back into heaven at the right hand of the Father. So after he was sent to earth on this mission, he had to be sent back. He had to take all of us up in with himself back to the Father. So there was this second sending. And it's actually that second sending that we enjoy here in the Mass. The Mass has been called the representation of Calvary. Calvary is that place where Jesus sacrificed himself. It's where he completed his mission to suffer and to die for us, that he might save us from our sins. And so the Mass is a real presentation of that sacrifice of Calvary. What we do here is not just going through the emotions. What we go and do here is actually making present on this altar that one sacrifice of Christ. He's represented here for us in a real and a lasting way. And so the sending of the Son back to the Father happens here in the Mass. When the bread and the wine are transformed into Jesus' real body and blood and offered back to the Father, we are taken up in that sending. I here as a ministerial ordained priest, I send the victim of Jesus back to the Father. And you as baptized priests, you participate in a real way in that second sending. You see, we don't just come to Mass to receive the Eucharist. We don't just come here to get something. We come here to give something. We come here to send something. We send ourselves, we send our hearts, we send our prayers back to the Father tied up in this sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. That's why during the offertory part of Mass, we ought to be readying ourselves for that great gift. We think of the prayers, we think of the people that we've brought here with us. The offertory is usually that time, too, where you throw your pennies in the collection basket. It's that time when you think, what can I give? What can I attach to that sacrifice of Jesus, the Son being sent back to the Father? I even have a dialogue with you. I say, lift up your hearts. And you respond, we lift them up to the Lord. We send ourselves and all that is dear to us back to the Father here at that sending of the victim back. And then, of course, at the end, we are sent forth. After we've done all the sending here during the Mass, we ourselves, as members of Christ's body, are sent out into the world. We're sent back to our homes. We're sent to our jobs. We're sent to our families and our communities that need us. Having received the bread from heaven, that true body and blood of the Lord, we are sent out as his members. And that sending, that third sending, is so important because the world needs the Lord. The world needs Christ's hands. The Lord needs Christ's feet. It needs his mouth. It needs his ears. We celebrated earlier this week the feast of St. Teresa of Avila. And she said, the world has no hands, or Christ has no hands in the world except our hands. Christ has no feet in our world but our feet. Christ has no mouth, no ears in our world but ours. And so after we've sent our hearts to heaven here, tied up with the sacrifice of Christ, we are sent forth to be the presence of Christ. We, brothers and sisters, as adopted sons and daughters of the Father, go forth. We become those members of Christ's body, living and active in the world. That's why on this World Mission Sunday, we pay so much attention to that missionary activity of the church. It's necessary. It's part of our identity to be mission. All of the popes, all of the church's leaders and shepherds have talked about this necessary mission, this necessary sending forth. We lose the identity that we have in Christ if we don't go forth. The theme that given to this annual Sunday for this year is called Here I Am. Send me. What beautiful words that each of us as Christ's members need to say. Here I am. Send me. I'll be sent, Lord. I'll be sent forth from these walls, out these doors, after I send myself to you in the Mass. I will be sent as your members into the world. Of course, Christ doesn't need us. The Father doesn't need us to accomplish his mission, but he delights in calling his sons and daughters to join him in the family business. You know, he could choose other people, and he does all the time. In our readings today, we heard about two pagan kings, two kings outside of the family of God. The Lord used them. The Lord used them to accomplish his mission. The first one was Cyrus. He was the king of Persia, and the Lord actually used him as an instrument to send his people Israel back into the promised land after the Babylonian exile. He was a pagan. He wasn't in the family or the household of God. But the Father chose to use him, a weak instrument, to accomplish his will. Even in that reading from Isaiah, Cyrus is called the Anointed One. Literally, the Messiah. Here, someone outside of the family is God is called Messiah. God can use whoever he wants. The second pagan king is in the gospel, Caesar. Caesar himself wanted to be worshipped as a god. But the Father chose to use him as part of his mission. We see it as Jesus hangs on a Roman cross. Caesar and the soldiers who crucified Jesus were used by the Father to accomplish the mission of Jesus to save us. The Father can use pagan kings. He can use whoever he wants. But he delights in using his sons and his daughters. That's why you, brothers and sisters, are called to be those hands and those feet in the world. That our worship here and our sending of our hearts would lead us to an action outside of these walls. It's both inside the walls and outside the walls where the mission happens. We have two saints even that help us understand this. There are two patrons of the missions. One is Saint Therese of Lisieux, who lived most of her life in a convent, in a cloister. And the other was Saint Francis Xavier, who was sent to the East to evangelize and spread the gospel. These are the two patrons of missions for the church. One never left her cell. The other was sent out. And so I think this is instructive for us that just like Saint Therese, we can participate in this Mass and send ourselves and pray and give our pennies and give all of ourselves as best we can inside these walls. But then like Saint Francis Xavier, we can also be sent out. We can go to our communities. We can go to our families. We can go to those people in desperate need of the Lord in our world and bring the presence of Christ. This is our task. This is what the Lord invites us into, the Father choosing his sons and his daughters to give ourselves here. Those words from Jesus today, he says, give to God what belongs to God. Brothers and sisters, you and I belong to God. Our money, our time, our talent, everything we have belongs to God. So we give it today. We send it back to him. We give it to him in our worship. We give it to him as we leave these walls as his visible sign and his visible presence here on earth.